Okay then. Now, I always start like this, and I say every time, I'm going to do it differently. It's, where are we? What's the date today? 7th of January, 2020. We're down at the Destination Depot, and which is our, what is it, weekly, isn't that, I guess? Weekly networking. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And who are we in the van with today? Right, we're in the van, and that's another thing. So 2020, we're not changing anything. The van is still doing the recording. So we've got Roger Cheatham. And we've got Jessica Widdowson.
Absolutely, yeah.
There, you got it right. I'd looked that up, actually. You know what I did? I looked on LinkedIn.
Yeah.
And there were two Jessicas from Barnsley College.
How dare they?
And bizarrely, because of the photographs are so small,
yes.
I actually hesitated as to who it was.
Yeah, somebody just said, because I've got my picture on my business card, and they were like, that doesn't look like you. Uh-huh. That's me on a good day, that's why. Right. This is me when I've been up at 6 a.m. to get here, come on.
Right, so who is, well, what time is it now? It's 9 o'clock on, mm-hmm. on this. And Sheffield has not been performing very well on weather recently.
No.
And we've suffered a little bit, but I've been out over the Christmas period, mm-hmm. out in the Peak District and various things. And we had, if you choose your days, it's been fantastic. Mm-hmm. Anyway, that's me. Over to you, Jessica.
Oh, I don't know where to start. So
that's a good way.
Yeah, I suppose it is. So this morning I've been kind of talking about my job at Barnsley College as the team leader for the Enterprise Department, which is such a rewarding job. It's really exciting. Like, for me, every day is so different. So obviously one day I might be supporting a student to open their own business, which is just amazing. Another day it might be supporting a student to go on and do a work placement. It might be abroad, it might be somewhere in the UK. I mean, we have everything from students doing like shadowing a doctor experience, which is insane, to we've got a student at the minute that's going to go to, I think it's Malaysia, to work in an animal rehabilitation centre. We've got a new post recently in our team, which is really exciting, which is a culture capital coordinator. So that person's job basically is going to be looking at cultural opportunities for students, so theatre, art, music, and we're actually planning a week of culture. So there'll be a day of food, so we're going to have like a curry cooking class, pie making workshops, oriental food tasting sessions, so there's going to be all sorts in that, a day of kind of music and theatre and dance. It's really exciting, I can't wait.
Well, the first thing was, what did you call it? Culture Capital?
Coordinator. Absolutely.
Who's dreamt that one up? That's a good one.
So, in the new, this is a boring bit, I guess. In the new Ofsted framework, kind of culture capital is a really important kind of thing to ensure that our students are able to access those cultural opportunities. You know, for myself, for example, I've been really fortunate. I've been kind of all over the world, I've travelled to lots of different places, tried lots of different food, seen different theatre, opera, ballet. But it's about providing those opportunities to all of our students and to our staff as well, because actually, even though I think some people go, yeah, but what, opera's this, that and the other, I don't like opera. Well, that's fine, but it's just having the opportunity to at least find out whether you like that or not. So we're actually the first place in the country to have a culture capital coordinator. And one of our senior leaders as well, she has that in her title as well. So it's something that we're really putting some focus into at the moment to ensure that we're providing cultural opportunities and kind of exposing students and staff to something a bit different and a bit new.
So this is taking them outside their normal world.
Yeah, and sort of bringing it to them as well. Because, you know, sometimes we go, it might be London, for example. London, for a lot of people, is a scary prospect. Because if you've never been, you know, you've got the tube, it feels like it's a million miles away. It's massive, it's busy, it's hectic. For a lot of people, that's a really scary thought. So actually, part of it is about bringing it to us as well. Because actually, we recently had a piece of artwork in called Gaia, which was just amazing, and we had thousands of people in the college coming to see it. And it's basically a big, it's like a disco ball, but it's like 7 meters wide, and it's earth hanging from the ceiling, spinning, not spinning like a disco ball, like slowly turning, with music. And the amount of people that came into that college to see that across three evenings was just incredible.
Isn't this gone around the world, this
guy? He's also had one of the moon.
I mean, that's a rather bad pun thinking about it, but
yeah.
He's spinning around the world.
Yeah, yeah. But it's just amazing. It's just fantastic.
Is he English or British or?
Oh God, I don't know. Oh dear.
I don't know. Is it still there?
No, it was there for kind of like like just less than a week, but it was open to the public for three nights as part of Bright Nights in Barnsley.
That's what I heard about it.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was a fantastic week. I mean, there were fireworks and there was lights, like a light show on the front of the town hall and the Christmas lights and everything. There were things on at the museum group, things on at the library. So in Barnsley, they've got the new library at the Lightbox, which has loads of really fantastic digital 3D pens and vinyl printers. And suddenly, a library is not going to listen to that little lady reading your story anymore. Actually, right. It's 3D and it's digital media.
Part of the community,
it's amazing, and it's modernising that, and you know, making it accessible. For me personally, I actually, I really hope they don't listen to this. I really hate reading.
I really hope they do listen.
Yeah,
to
yeah, they know this anyway.
Barnsley College. Well, I'm sure your reputation's got ahead of you.
Fingers crossed. but I hate reading. I really hate reading. I actually have something called scotopic sensitivity, which means that for me, anything that's on white paper, the white is too overpowering. So like, I'm very sensitive to light. So for me, I'm supposed to have like a green overlay, basically, but I can't be bothered to sit with a green overlay and then obviously trying to focus in on it. I don't get any enjoyment out of that. But with the new digital technologies and the fact that now I can get a Kindle or I can get an iPad and change the colour of the screen, actually I can start to enjoy those things that for me personally have been a challenge. Because I think, you know, I get a lot of like singing lesson students that go, oh, by the way, I'm dyslexic. And they're quite embarrassed of that, and I'm like, don't be embarrassed of that. You know, that's part of you, of your makeup, I suppose. And the same with me, you know. But now there are ways around that, and that's quite exciting. Actually, I can start to enjoy and appreciate those things.
I mean, you're learning to discover things that you haven't done before.
Absolutely.
And I'm a big one, you might imagine, into tech, but it's not the be all and end all.
No.
And it's certainly, there's so many things out there that you need to one needs to discover without getting immersed in the idea. I think you were talking about the social media, was it earlier, about the idea, who was talking about social media and overcoming the world when we were,
I think that was Laura.
Laura. So we, this is part of the networking thing.
Absolutely.
And these things resonate. Now Barnsley College, I think, did we actually, have we mentioned Barnsley College?
Briefly,
You did actually, you did get that as the focus of what the college was and everything else and how Barnsley is.
Absolutely.
From Sheffield, you know, Barnsley is always a competitor. But, you know, we should be sharing.
Oh, I couldn't agree more.
You know, I've got connections with the colleges and stuff. So this is great. So if you can, if enlightened people, and we'll use the 2020 or whatever excuse just to sort of get people out there, then listen to your stories, how what that's worked.
Absolutely.
It won't necessarily work in the same, but it's engaging and inspiring, whatever you want to
call Absolutely.
It.
And we need to work together a little bit more as well. You know, I visited the Visitor Forum a while ago. I attended one of those, and kind of one of the things is, you know, how can we bring new people into Sheffield? And it was like, actually, we need to probably start with the people closest to you. Need to get people from Barnsley going into Sheffield and vice versa, because Barnsley, if you, I don't know if you've been recently, but the town is constantly changing. Like, you've got massive new buildings, like the whole town centre, even in the kind of 2.5 years that I've been working in Barnsley, it's completely different. It's completely changing and evolving left, right and centre. And it's an amazing place to work. It's a really nice place to be. So yeah, absolutely, we need to be changing that. And I think, you know, for me on LinkedIn, it's a fabulous platform for me to be saying to other people, look what Barnsley's doing, look what we're doing, look at this that's been going on. And actually what I've found is the more kind of personal those posts are and authentic, like Laura mentioned, the more people engage with that as well, which is exciting. It doesn't need to be really corporate and kind of formal. Actually, when we're saying, look what our students did today, look at, you know, this person that's come and delivered this session, look at what our team have been working on in our team meeting sessions, for example, that's when we're getting people engaging and going, actually, this is really working.
It's real life. I think we kind of got detached in a sense.
Yeah.
I mean, I've got kids, you know, they've come through the revolution, but bizarrely, they were kind of pre social media, and although they are engaged with and everything else, but they actually know where the limits are, I think. You know, half the time you don't want to communicate with them because they're all over the place, you know, in terms of distance. But the tech is there to be used positively.
Yeah.
And this there's an awful lot of negativity going around that. I don't.
Yeah.
I kind of don't. I get it, but I don't get it.
I think, I think social media generally is quite frowned upon, isn't it? I think there's always going to be people even that use it for the wrong reasons.
Yeah.
You know, there's people that use LinkedIn and don't use it for its primary purpose. You know, that use it as a Facebook. Well, it's not Facebook. It's, you know, it's like Facebook. It works in a similar way, but it's not Facebook. And I think it's about kind of knowing kind of how to be socially kind of acceptable on each platform.
Well, aren't we all learning that?
Yeah, because it evolves.
No, exactly. Yeah, I mean, you can't tell me and I can't tell you how that you would engage with social media.
Absolutely not.
I think like so many other things, social media is neither good nor bad.
Yeah.
It's all about how it's utilised.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. We're putting over the stories.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about storytelling, but that's kind of what the podcasts are all about. You know?
Yeah.
So you've got, each has a little caveat or something, even in the times, you know, people think. But Barnsley is, let's take Barnsley as again. I know, even when you asked me, have I been to Barnsley? I can't remember the last time I went to Barnsley.
Mm.
Probably 10 years ago.
You should go.
I know I should go. I drive past it on the M1.
Get off the M1.
I need to get off the... Well, there's a white building, which I think is the modern civic building. You can see from the M1.
Right.
It sits up on the horizon.
Okay.
That's literally...
I can't even envisage...
No, well, I'm maybe
I get the train.
Yeah, well, no, you're not on the M1. The train goes literally. You don't see it until you arrive, do you?
Yeah,
yeah.
It's just.
Right.
Do you know what though? It's so easy to get to. Because
do you live in Barnsley?
No, I live in Sheffield.
Oh,
so
right.
And I'm obviously originally from Chesterfield. So when I started working in Barnsley, I lived in Chesterfield, and it's this kind of thing of, oh my gosh, how am I supposed to get there? Because at the point, I didn't drive either. And actually, there's a direct train from Chesterfield. So actually, it's really easy for you to get to.
Right.
There's loads of stuff to access in the town centre. There's some really, really fantastic restaurants, cafes. There's now the Market Kitchen up in the market itself. So you can go and you can get Thai food, you can get Turkish. So
like a franchise type thing with lots of... Or just lots of individual businesses.
It's a little bit like a sort of... Like a cutlery work sort of... thing, but in the market itself, and it's really lovely, and it's a fantastic way to bring a community together and bring people into community spaces. Because the only town halls I've ever been in have been in Chesterfield, and actually I'm used market hall, even I'm used to the market hall just, you know, selling fish and sweets and get my watch fixed sort of thing. But actually to go into
fish and sweets.
Yeah, that's all they sell.
Okay.
Yeah, but I'm used to that sort of market. But to go into a market and actually see a really nice kind of fancy restaurant area where you can, you can go and get your normal market food, you can get chips, you can get a jack of potato, but also I can go and get some Thai food, and there's a bar in there, like you could actually have
a night out
in Barnsley Market, which is amazing, and I think it's fantastic. I think it's fantastic.
Is it taken off as a venue for people to go to? I'm now going to have to visit this. To come along. Is it in the evening? I mean, does it?
I'm not sure what time it actually closes, but I mean, I sometimes just pop in for lunch and just go But it's lovely. I mean, and then opposite you've got the new library, and they actually can open it up, and there's the Falco Lounge next to it, which is another bar and restaurant. And they have music acts, they have performances on where they like open up the library. Like it's really, really cool. Like, there's so much going on. Like, and for a library, for the term library, all the things you associate with a library, this is above and beyond that. You've got your books, you're always gonna have books, it's a library, but you've got music, you've got arts, you've got your culture in there. They've got a space, like a rooftop terrace space, which I've used for several of my events. It's amazing.
Right.
The view across Barnsley, it's a lovely
and
space.
The M1.
Sorry.
I have to say, historically, Barnsley's always had a bad press, and as someone that's run pubs there in the past, I've never experienced a sense of community and camaraderie like the one that's exclusive to Barnsley, to be honest.
Yeah, it's coming.
Is it?
Well, yeah, absolutely.
So this spread, that's it's a great message.
Mm.
I mean, read Barnsley anywhere, isn't it? Just what you know.
Absolutely.
Thought. Yeah, you mentioned the cutlery works here, actually.
Yeah.
We're just around the corner, aren't they? Where are they? Just over here.
Just over there, yeah.
I went there recently, just thought, you know, and just to see. And the interesting thing, you were made to, you felt welcome. Now there's places, I mean, I'm, you know, that's, I've been in, you know, I've always moaned about Sheffield's food because it feels like people seem to think that you if you pay a lot of money, you get good food.
Mm.
It doesn't work like that.
No, not at all.
You charge a lot, and it just does, yeah. You just don't get it.
Absolutely not.
So the idea of these sort of people were kind of competing, but yeah. on a community level.
Absolutely.
Yeah, they've got the one that community works is no, not community. What is it? Cutlery works.
Cutlery works. Yeah.
It's got there's a line of them, isn't there? And you've got Bangers and Mash. Thai.
You've got all sorts.
And was there something
there's
else?
Korean,
Japanese. Oh, there's sushi as well.
There's sushi. Yeah. You've got pizza. You've got like plant-based desserts. You've got bullion with its chocolate factory. Yes. It's amazing.
Course. So the same. That's sort of kind of mimicked in the Barnsley Market.
Yeah, I mean it's not as big, but it's there.
That sort of thing. Yeah, but it's
yeah, it's that sort of
for
thing.
Barnsley in
absolutely.
That sense. Right. Okay.
Yeah.
So where's the college in? Is it, I mean, you must be quite.
So we have several different sites actually. I think we've got about 11 sites. So we have most of them are kind of within the town centre itself. So
you're walking distance of this community bit.
Absolutely. Yeah. So like walking distance, like 5 minutes, 10 minutes to the main Old Mill Lane campus. You've got the university site, which is even closer. You've got the sixth form site, which is even closer to the town. About a 20-minute walk from the town centre, you've got our Honeywell campus, where we've got our Cube construction site. We've got sports, public services, travel and tourism. We have our own sports village, a gym, basically. We have a farm, which is our kind of furthest site away. We've got sites kind of all over the place.
I like that idea. You just threw that in, but the thing... A sports village. I mean a gym.
Yeah.
So you rework the gym. The gym's got a bad name, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
You know, they but a sports village sounds much more.
It sounds
much
attractive.
More
it is a sports village.
More attractive. Yeah. There's a lot of things happening.
It's
there.
It's an amazing gym. They do a range of different classes. I mean, like my colleague, they go to loads of different fitness classes. My colleagues Jimmy and Thomas go to everything. And they were saying, you know, now they've got like a tap dancing fitness class. They've got everything. It's amazing. This is a college and we've got a gym that is fully functioning. It's got everything you could possibly need in it. You've got every class under the sun. Like it's brilliant. It's really, really brilliant.
So how do you pay for that?
Yeah,
it's part of your course or is it, did you actually go in there? I don't know,
so
day by day thing.
So it literally works just like a normal gym, basically, but it's obviously quite heavily discounted. So like, as well, Talent United partners get a discount. Just going to throw that in there.
Talent United, well, we'll go in touch about that, So you get a discount because the college is actively promoting these things outside college, but giving them the opportunity.
Yeah, we have a lot of the community that use that gym. A lot of partners that use that gym, which is exciting because, you know, it's part of the college, it's dead easy to get to. You know, we've got football pitches and stuff down there as well, and obviously sports students are studying down there, so it makes perfect sense. It's a great space.
And the other thing that really surprises me, you mentioned earlier, was it 12,000, 10,000 students?
I think it's around the 10,200 mark overall.
It's a lot of students. I mean, it's and they encourage, but you know, but these are alternatives to universities. How does that work?
We have ages 14 plus, our main kind of bulk of students are in the 16 to 19 bracket. We have a university site, so we do have students on at Barnsley College that are studying at our Church Street campus, doing a foundation degree or a degree. It might be a HND, HNC. So higher education.
Yeah,
we are. Mainly an FE college, further education. Obviously, as well, we've got 14 to 16 year old students now as well. So we've got all sorts. I mean, we've got, you know, as I said, several different sites. We've got courses from hair and beauty to A levels over at our sixth form site to business. We have animal and land management. We have catering. All sorts, performing arts. We're actually one of our sites is just having, I think. Touch wood, it's a £5 million renovation to become our new digital site, which is really exciting. Okay. Which I think it opens next September. But I mean, we've got
so is that
all
sponsored?
Sorts.
Is that bringing in commercial sponsors or is it done by the council? How's that?
I don't know if I can say.
You, might get it wrong. So, but there's money coming into the place.
Yeah, so basically, I mean, you know, it's a growth area in Barnsley, the digital sector.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you've got the DMC at the moment, you've got the Digital Media Centre 2, I'm not sure if that's got a name yet, which is going to be opening just across the road. Like, that whole section of Barnsley is set to become a real digital campus, I suppose.
Right, right.
And we're going to be part of that, and that's really exciting. So it's a space that, yes, digital students can use, but equally, students in other departments can go and use that. So actually, everybody's going to access digital because it's on the rise. And actually, just because you work for a digital company doesn't mean you specialise in digital. You know, we have companies that are digital media marketing companies that specialise in health and social care. Well, you need someone with an insight into health and social care to go and support that company to create that digital content, for example. So, you know, there's loads of different things. You know, you think about Sheffield, for example, you've got Twinkle, which is an educational company that focuses around digital. So actually, it's relevant for everyone. Right.
I came across Twinkle because my background is e-learning and bringing content out there and making it available, but not being too prescriptive, which is kind of what we're offering the whole blogging or the broadcasting.
Absolutely.
But taking that idea and, you know, moving it away from the traditional sat in front of a wireless type thing.
Yeah.
You know, and people engage with their phones and all, you know. So just,
absolutely.
But that's where the tech, but I think that's really, you know, that I think that's got to be the way forward.
It does.
In that, rather than saying this is how it's going to go, to get people to use it, but then encourage people to use it, you know, in a life-friendly
absolutely.
Manner. That's what I'm trying to think of this
phrase.
Well, really.
If you think about it, we've got students right now that are on a digital course
that
are currently studying for jobs that don't exist.
Yes, I've heard, yes.
If you think about the children that are in our primary schools right now, they are going to go into jobs that currently don't exist because digital is changing all the time. We are preparing them for jobs that don't exist because we don't know where that digital sector is going to be in 5 years, 10 years. So obviously, if we can give children an insight into things like coding, which, you know, Twinkle do really well, and digital and augmented reality, virtual reality, all these different things, actually that gives them that kind of foot in the door to go and try those new things and potentially be in those roles in the future.
That makes a lot of sense because it's not going back that many years where people were saying that the internet was going to be a flash in the pan and not wanting to learn email or get involved with the internet
Absolutely.
Because it was going to be a fad that was never going to catch on.
Absolutely.
And we look at it now, you know, the world revolves around it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, but it is the idea that, you know, you are teaching for jobs that don't exist. It's a good one, isn't it?
It's
crazy. You know,
it's
and crazy. When you think about, you know, I think you mentioned about, you know, when you were told you couldn't do this, you couldn't do that. When I'm a lot older, and when you're at school, you know, they had no idea what the kids say. You can do the one that really got me. You can do anything.
Yeah.
Well, that's 14 or 16 or 18. Even, you know, that's, you needed somebody to say, almost as a kid, holy, well, that's something that should be quite good. It's something to spark you off, not push you down a particular avenue.
Absolutely.
But just for now, we feel like that's what it has to be to get people inspired, because there's so many people being, you know, overwhelmed by everything, you know, things I don't get, you know.
I think it's about young people, well, it's not young people, just anyone, making an informed decision.
Yeah.
Because actually, you know, right now, I'm doing some industry days for hair and beauty students. But actually, we're not at a point anymore where that just means you are going to work in a salon. That could mean having your own business. That could mean working in a salon. Equally, you could be a wig maker. You could go to university and do media makeup, which, you know, wasn't an option 10 years ago. You've got so many different options now for each course. You know, one of the companies we work with does skincare for people that are in hospital with different conditions. That could be a career that you go on to after doing a hair and beauty course.
Yes.
That's something completely different that you wouldn't have thought about.
No.
So I think it's really important to open people's eyes to what is out there so that they've got the opportunity and the resources to make that decision. Because you know what? You might show somebody all these different options and they might still go, you know, I want to work as a hairdresser in a salon. Great, that's fine. But at least you know that because you know what's out there now and that's still the decision that you've come to. Because equally, you might show someone, they might go, oh, actually, now I've realised I'm really interested in that, and that's what I want to go on and do. Well, our students are getting a wig making demonstration, which is amazing. Like how to sit.
Someone was needing
that. I thought I was going to get a mention on that one.
It's good job that you've got, no, I haven't got the visuals on this.
Yeah.
Right. A wig making,
yeah.
Well, I discovered that wigs are actually no longer a stigma, and it's a social exercise.
Mm.
So people go and change their hair every weekend.
Absolutely.
Or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, including, I mean, this is about to show your age, isn't it? Men will wear, you know, a hair, wear
absolutely.
Wig.
Oh, you've got these new stick-on quiff things, haven't you? Which are amazing. They last for like 6 months. That's amazing.
Oh, they stick on.
Yeah, you literally glue it on your head. Right. Then you get it all styled and it lasts for like 6 months.
And it looks like you're ordering.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, genius. It does look great. Yeah.
But that's crazy, isn't it? I mean, even just in wigs, for example, you've got wigs for medical purposes, you've got wigs for theatre, you've got wigs for fashion.
Yeah.
You've got all sorts of stuff just in that tiny little pocket alone. So right. I think that's really important to make people aware of these are your options so that they can actually make the right choice rather than feeling obliged to do that because they think it's their only option.
Are you coming from that angle because you didn't have that choice? I get the feeling that I want to bring something to the.
I think.
Because that didn't happen to me, and therefore I'm going to make it happen, and now I can still apply it. Or was that just?
I think I come from that angle because I think that's what I did. I went and did stuff that people didn't think I could do.
Right.
You know, like I've done performances with a range of different people from different backgrounds. I've worked with primary age children, I've worked in community centres, I've worked with people in a range of challenging circumstances. I've done performing arts in the community, I've done, you know, your technical vocal coaching, I've done bits of all sorts. For me, I've kind of chosen, my specialism is in teaching singing, however I do lots of other things outside of that, and I think, you know, for me, I like to be able to do lots of things rather than one, but that's more to prove the point that you can do that as well. That's as okay.
Say, it's a personal thing, but I'm saying it's coming from your heart as to what you're bringing out to other people so they can see it.
Yeah.
It comes across, you know, if you really believe in it.
Yeah.
Or it's going to shine through, even to the most immune. You know, they just have to sit there, you know, suddenly it'll spark something off in people.
And it's watching those students go, oh my gosh, actually, I could have a business, couldn't I? You could.
Yeah.
Actually, I could do this, couldn't I? Yeah, you could. Why not?
Mm.
Why not? I think that's really, really important for them to have that moment of actually, I could do that. Not making them think it's easy, because I think sometimes people think, you know, oh, I had a business from being 16 years old. Oh, easy. It's not easy.
No.
That's not an easy decision, and it's not an easy thing to do. However, is it possible? Absolutely, yes, it is.
Yeah.
So I think it's about being realistic, but also being aspirational, because why not?
Yeah. I think you've set a great example, actually, Jess, by the number of things that you've done, because people always talk about there no longer being jobs for life and focusing on that being a negative thing.
Yeah.
But I think at the same time, young people are now realising that they don't have to choose a job and stick with it for life. You can try something out, see what's right for them at that time in life, and if it doesn't suit them anymore, move on and do something completely different.
You and your career evolve. Like, if you think about it, like I said, I've been in Barnsley College for 2.5 years. In that time, I've been in 3 different roles.
Right.
Because actually, my skill set and my direction has changed. And actually, that's great. You know, I got my first job and it put me in Barnsley College. I'm a very firm believer that everything happens for a reason. And I totally believe that I was supposed to be put in that college because I just fell in love with it. I love working there.
Right.
I love the people. I love the students. I love being in that environment. And I'm very well supported. And that's, like, you know, that's everything I could possibly wish for and more. Then I managed to do kind of what I really love doing, working with students but also working with business, because I am quite split. I like working with people and trying to inspire and encourage people, but then I also like the business side of things, and this job is perfect because I get both sides of that. You know, I don't want to teach, but I do want to still make a difference to people.
You want to make an impression.
Absolutely, and this is the way to do it, you know, without having a strict curriculum to follow, because for me, that's not my path, that's not for me. And, you know, I know a lot of my friends want to go on and be a teacher, great, but that's absolutely way too restrictive for me personally. But I can still make a difference in this job, and that's really important, really important.
I suspect teaching might go down that route in time. You know, we've had the curriculum, we've had the lesson planning and all that sort of stuff, and people are leaving because they're disillusioned, or they can't hack it, or it's not what they thought it was. And that's, so things have a habit of, I think, coming back to, you know, where meaningfully, where teaching is inspiring as opposed to being
absolutely
a drudge.
Yeah.
I don't know, the first thing that hits me about you is, what do you do in your spare time? Is there any of that, or do you just because it's you enjoy your work, it doesn't feel like work?
What is,
you know,
what is spare time?
I don't know. You tell me.
I mean, my spare time really is Sunday. So at the moment, I mean, in term time.
Do you go to church?
Nope.
No.
Lay in.
You're late.
Sunday is my only day to have a lie in.
So you do, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I always have a lie in on a Sunday. Well, I say that. I try to have a lie in on a Sunday. But, you know, for me, in term time, I work Monday to Saturday, and three of those days are, you know, like 13 and a half, 14 hours. Which I'm one of those people, actually, that gets everybody kind of on LinkedIn saying, oh, do you want more time? Do you want elements of your life back? Why don't you sell aloe vera water? And I'm like, no, I don't want to do that. I get a lot of people that will message me and say, oh, you look like you're working too much, and do you want to find more time in your life? I get those all the time, and actually, no, I don't want to drop
what,
anything.
People offering, random strangers offering you advice like that?
Yeah. There's a lot of people that obviously maybe like sell a product or something say, oh, actually, I got my life back and now I'm doing this and I'm making loads of money from it. And I'm like, that's great, but that's not my calling. I like being busy.
Yes.
And even in my spare time, so to speak, you know, I like being busy. I don't shut off. And I think a lot of people see that as a bad thing, but it's not.
No.
It's actually, that's how my brain works. Yeah. I went to Mexico last year. And whilst I was sat in the pool, I came up with the whole concept for my drama school's Christmas show.
Ah.
So I created an entire show.
So it's productive downtime.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's okay, yeah.
I'll never stop working, I guess. Like, even in my spare time, like I know I mentioned to you earlier, like I kind of, it's a bit morbid, but I want to lay on my deathbed one day and be like, do you know what, everything I wanted to do, I've done. So I love travelling.
So you regret nothing, that's the idea?
Yeah,
yeah,
maybe.
I think it's, you know, is it morbid?
I don't know. I think it's quite good, actually.
Well, you just, I don't. Yeah, yeah. It's interesting. It's a bit. I'm dead against bucket lists.
Yeah, I'm not a book now.
No, so that's kind of. It's getting close to that, but then on the other hand, what you're saying is it actually.
Yeah.
I just want to go be nice, fulfilled. You know, I feel fulfilled or whatever. I'm doing something.
It's not like I think, you know, a lot of people I know have like a strict bucket list of this is what I want to do, but for me it's more of a, I'm going to wake up one morning and go, you know, in December I woke up and went, I'm going to learn how to make ice cream, and I'm going to make some sorbet that I can put in some Prosecco over Christmas. So I bought an ice cream maker, and a week later I learned how to do it, and it was great. Done. Fulfilled. Like, that for me works.
Now I've got another friend.
Yeah, I'm like,
I want a sorbet.
It's
okay,
great,
right, yeah.
I think I want to try things, and, you know, I want to try things and think, actually, this is boring, I don't want to do this again, because actually that's just as valuable as doing something and loving it, I think, you know, because at least then I can go, oh, I have actually done that and it's not for me. I think I just want to try things, and, you know, I love travelling, I love going to different places of the world and trying different foods and drinks and seeing things. I really hate walking on holidays, but I say I want to relax, but I don't really relax. But, you know, I want to learn to do different things, try doing different things, see theatre, go and, you know, do quite a sort of
reactive type of thing. So if something pops up or something, you're interested.
Yeah, then I'll go, oh, I want to do that.
Spontaneous is sort of move.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I think that's important. Because I think if not, like, I'd rather do something and think this was rubbish than not doing, oh, I wish I'd tried it.
Well, that's back to the idea of regret. I mean, you know, if you hadn't had a go at it, then, you know,
Exactly.
Hate it afterwards if you really didn't like it.
Mm.
All right.
Yeah. We heard a rumour this morning, Jess, there's a man in your life.
A man in my life?
By the name of Alan.
Alan. Oh.
Yeah. That was a leading one.
I was like, oh.
Alan? Yeah. There was a bit of hope there.
Yeah,
there?
I was like, wow, where's this going? Alan's my goldfish. I got Alan last Valentine's Day, actually, as a gift. I got four fish.
Oh, so there is a man in the life.
There is a man in the life.
Gives Alan away.
He bought me some goldfish. He bought me four, and then we kind of played a game of survival of the fittest, because three of them died. Alan survived. And then, this is a strange story, but I'll tell you anyway.
cool.
I got some really long glass, like, vase things to put candles in. But if you put the candle in the bottom, it would have just looked rubbish. So I wanted some stones to put in. Couldn't find stones anywhere, and then we had this kind of moment of, oh, actually, we could get some stones from like a pet shop. He went in to get some stones, came out with two shrimp and two more fish. One of the shrimps is now on the other side, but Sebastian the shrimp and Ian and Mavis are,
you can
still
identify
alive.
These, can't
yeah.
You? I when you mentioned Alan earlier, I thought this is a great story. This is, you could have Alan for 50 years.
Yeah.
Who the hell would tell the difference between Alan 1 and Alan 2?
Oh no, Alan's is massive. I mean, he's huge. Orange so, fish. Sebastian is obviously a shrimp, so it's pretty right. self-explanatory. Ian and Mavis are slightly different. They are the same fish, but they are slightly different.
So this is like a tropical tank?
No.
It's just in the bottom of a vase.
It's just a normal tank. It's not tropical, it's just a cold water tank. But yeah. Oh, yeah. But Sebastian right. likes to ride on Alan's head sometimes. That's magical. That's great. That's, you know.
You're just staring at this tank waiting for these yeah. these gymnastics to turn.
It's like the Little Mermaid, but better.
Oh, is it? Yeah. Okay. I've got it's this. Excellent. This is bringing back all sorts of, you know, memories from childhood, isn't it? Goldfish. Yeah,
love it.
Yes, excellent.
I have to say, when I'm in front of students, the pets are always a great way to engage. Do you
absolutely.
Find that, Jess?
Yeah, yeah, always. Yeah, the students love Alan. I always bring him up because I'm like, I always say to them, you know, if I wake up tomorrow and decided I want to change my job, for example, that becomes very tricky at my stage in life because actually I've got a mortgage to pay for and a car and I've got my child, Alan, that I have to pay for. And they're all like, you called your kid Alan. I was like, yeah, he's a goldfish. And then they're all like, what the heck?
Who is this,
who is this woman? Yeah. Yeah, and I'm like, you know, I wouldn't be able to look after my goldfish, Alan. And they love it. They think it's hilarious. I always bring up Alan. Always. My singing lesson students always ask how Alan is. Like, and it's bizarre.
It is bizarre, but this has become part of just what you do.
Me, yeah.
Singing lessons and Alan the goldfish. Does he respond to music?
No.
Yeah, exactly.
He doesn't respond to anything.
No.
But I put him on a Christmas card this year. I edited a little Santa hat on
him. So we do have a picture of Alan somewhere.
I'll show you a picture of Alan, actually, if I've got one. He's a really miserable. He's not happy to be alive, I don't think. She looks a bit down in the dumps. Poor thing.
Well, poor old Alan. I'm going to have to put a picture up this with you showing me Alan after this.
Deal.
And that reminds me I have to do a photograph.
I'll just try and find him first. Oh, here he is. Look. Alan.
Oh, he's a goldfish.
He's a goldfish.
He's, I didn't know about scale. Oh, you stuck a Santa hat on him. You're right. Okay. I thought that. When I first saw that from a distance, it looked somewhat macabre. But anyway, yes, it's got a Santa hat on it, put on, photoshopped onto her.
Excellent. Yeah, it's beautiful.
Right. Right then, we've done, as ever, talk to her. We're up to 37 minutes.
Yeah.
Excellent.
So there's good stuff. Right. I'll just say thanks, Jess and Roger.
Thank you.
And let's see where it takes us.
Perfect.
That's the whole point of the 2020.
That sounds great.
Great, thanks then.